Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
The First United Methodist Church podcast is recorded live every week at 4832 Tujunga Avenue in North Hollywood, California. Thank you for downloading.
Good morning. I'll be reading from the second book of Samuel, chapter 1, verse 1, 17 through 27. After the death of Saul, when David had returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, David remained 2 days in Ziklag. And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and Jonathan his son. And he said it should be taught to the people of Judah. Behold, it is written in the book of Jeshar. He said, "Thy glory, O Israel, is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not to Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised exult. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew or rain upon you, nor upsurging of the deep. For there the shield of the mighty was defiled, the shield of Saul not anointed with oil. From the oil of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan beloved and lovely. In life and in death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you daintily in scarlet, who put ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? Jonathan lies slain upon thy high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant have you been to me. Your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished?" May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Pray with me, if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light, reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. Scholars tell us that the background of this text is interesting on a number of accounts. The first being that the 31st chapter of 1 Samuel has a different ending where Saul commits suicide by falling on his sword, and then his body is desecrated by the Philistines. This one is disputed because of suicide was frowned upon and rarely written into Scripture, but it's an interesting comparison. In this one, the Amalekite warrior comes and tells David that Saul and his eldest son, Nathan, have been killed, and actually Saul begged the Amalekite warrior to put him out of his misery. So David rents his clothing, tears his clothes, orders a fast, writes this lovely dirge poem on behalf of the fallen, but not before he kills the messenger. He has the messenger killed, which I don't know whether you remember those phrases, "Don't kill the messenger." Well, that's where it comes from, literally from the Bible. You give the military leaders the things they don't want to hear, and they eliminate you. So those are the kind of background of it. When I read this, I didn't realize I would have to read the scripture at 8:15 in the morning. And Daisy, you did a much nicer job of reading it. I fell all over the words this morning, reading it at 8:15. Almost 30 years ago, when my father died, I loved my dad. I was his youngest child. Worked with him for a number of years. Got to know him by just kind of forcing him to reveal himself to me as I married and then had children. So over the last 9 years of his life, I just developed this relationship with him. And I preached a sermon in which I talked about after loss, love remains. And any of you who have lost somebody close to you can attest to that. If, no matter how many years have passed, you have something of that soul within you. I see heads nodding because you understand that. And that's what David was doing here. He loved Nathan more than a brother. He adored him. And Saul was like a father unto him. So he had this relationship that caused him to express. And I want to talk about in a few minutes different kinds of loss. Sandy Banks writes for the LA Times. She's inside the front page. Lives in Granada Hills. She wrote yesterday about Carol Champauer, whose son, Zach, died at the hands of the police, specifically L.A. County Sheriff's, under some questionable circumstance. And she did not know Carol, though she lives blocks from her, and she was her daughter's third-grade teacher. And 2 years removed, they hold a vigil, and so she decided to meet with Carol and talk with her. And the issue isn't the lawsuit that is pending this fall. It's answers that have not come. The misinformation that was given about her son being a drug dealer and a miscreant, and neither of which was true. His toxicology reports were all clean. But it's just she wants some policy and procedure changed. And that's what Sandy Banks was writing about. What struck me about it is the loss is still strikingly fresh for Carol Champauer. Zach is, the wound is so deep and so new, even 2 years removed, that she can barely speak about it. But she does in the interest of justice and open an open understanding of what happened. So that's one kind of loss. I don't know whether you know who Nora Ephron is. I know the number of writers we have here know who she is. If you don't, you will when I mention at least two of the things she penned, Sleepless in Seattle and When Harry Met Sally. And I don't know whether she directed these, but she was a writer and director. And just a little bit older than me, died too soon of cancer-related illness. But one of her friends, Gail Collins, in one of the many obituaries about her, said that she had armies of friends. I like the turn of phrase, a veritable Normandy invasion of friends. Pretty interesting turn of phrase. She said that that's who Nora Ephron was. She created friendships by the force of her personality. You've known people like this. You may have lost friends like this that touched you, that made your life more meaningful. So there's that kind of loss. Seems like I got most of this from the LA Times. But on the 28th, just as the X Games here in LA were getting really interesting, Baxter Holmes wrote, the title of his article was "Even Now, BMX Gives Him a Lift." And BMX is bicycle motocross, if you don't know what that is. It's like a motorcycle racing without an engine. You are the engine. And he wrote this article about Stephen Murray, who was a gold medalist, I think in 06. It may have been a little bit earlier. But in 07, he had an accident. He was had jumped and was doing a somersault about 30 feet off the air. His feet slipped, and he fell on his head. And is paralyzed from the chest down. There is some movement in his hands. But what struck me about the loss in that story is that Mr. Murray lives in Riverside and has built a BMX track around his home. He has a bit of land, and he invites BMX riders to practice at his home. He refuses to stop being an enthusiast to this really wildly popular and very dangerous sport, even at the loss of his own mobility. There's something powerful about looking at loss and saying, I'm not going to let that affect me. You know that I've been here now 23 years. I've presided over far too many memorials and funerals. And some of them have been so close, as close as family. But I will tell you this. I don't regret losing the people because I can hold them in my heart. And I can close my eyes and see their smiling faces and relive conversations. That's what David was trying to do in that lament. He was trying to remind the people that death does not take love from us. Death takes the person physically, but it does not take the love we've carried, the times we've shared, the important elements. And that's what the beloved community is about. I know that increasingly people say, oh, the church isn't relevant. It doesn't get it. It just doesn't get it. Yeah, it does. When I look out and I see the men singing, when I see the diversity that's available in this community, when I appreciate the kind of mission you're excited about. People ask me why I want to be here. Don't you want to go someplace else? I said, no, and have to learn how to fight fair? No. You folks are healthy, and that's why I'm here. And yeah, I know that we irritate each other from time to time, but the reality is we're creating these memories. Carl Erskine is a wild writer for the LA Times. He writes in sports, and he writes in lifestyle. He even writes in real estate. Well, he submitted an article the other day from what he calls the Heartland in Chicago, somewhere or outside of Chicago, a suburb of Chicago, where he grew up. And he went back to clear out his mother's home. And he's grumpy about it because he said, my mother is not a hoarder. She's worse than that. She's a sentimentalist. And she's getting back at me even in death because I have to go through all of the memories that she saved. Everything was important to her, and she filed and framed all these things. And he said, now I have to go back and do this. And it's her way of getting even with me because I don't have time to do those kinds of things. Well, I have to make time to do this. The final thing he said that was really interesting, he mentioned the neighborhood, which remains obviously changed because people have lived there for 60 years and have passed on, but it's held this kind of quality of all of the neighbors are good. And he says, of the new owners of the house, he says, I hope you just don't mess this up. These are good, wonderful, salt-of-the-earth people. The bank gave you a loan, but this neighborhood is going to give you a community. We have an opportunity, you and I, each and every day, to create something special in this world. Let's not blow that. Let's remember that after loss, love remains. Whether it's the loss physically of a loved one, whether it's the loss of a relationship, I know even for some, the loss of a pet is devastating. I understand that. But love still carries the day. May it ever be so.
Thank you for listening to the North Hollywood First United Methodist Church Sermon Podcast, delivered by Dr. Joey McDonald. For more information, please check out nohomethodistchurch.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter under NoHoFUMC.